Hello and welcome to episode 38 of The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Ivy, the end is in sight. New projects means new yarn, knitting superstition, and many more odds and ends. Welcome to episode 38. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. Ivy. I've been talking about the Ivy wrap top since November, which is when I cast on for it, and I have enjoyed knitting it, even though I had that big sort of a crisis a couple of weeks ago when I got stuck. I couldn't understand how to make the shaping all work together at the same time. But it's now got to the stage where, although I am still enjoying the knitting, I really, really want to have the finished item. I say the end is in sight, and that's the case, and it's to the point where it's tantalising. It won't be long now. During knitting hour last week, I had said that I wanted to have it finished within a week. So knitting hour is on a Thursday evening. It's 7:30 to 8:30. This is on Twitter. Unfortunately, it clashes with my son's bedtime. So I sort of put in a few minutes at the beginning and a few minutes at the end. But it couldn't be worse timing for me, being completely selfish and self-centred about the whole thing. But I was saying that I'd like to have it finished within a week, and when I said that, I had made really good progress on the second part of the front, and I thought, well, all I've got to do is the sleeves, and then just knit, you know, seam it all. Great, what could be easier than that? But there is more work in the sleeves than I had anticipated. Most, almost without exception really, the jumpers that I've made full stop really, and certainly in the last year, have used an Aran or worsted weight yarn, and obviously bigger needles, thicker yarn, fewer stitches. Your jumper is completed in what can seem no time at all. When I made the second version of To the Sea Gansey for my husband later on last year, I've been putting it off because I thought, oh, it's going to be so much work. I was making the biggest size and it's got cables, and I thought, oh God. But actually, it amazed me how fast it passed through my fingers, and he's been wearing it, you know, for weeks very happily. So when you're doing DK, it seems like it all takes an awful lot longer. And I'm now wondering about the wisdom of buying all that sport weight yarn last year in the lilac marl, because I realise that's going to take even longer. But because it's a lighter yarn, I will be likely making a short sleeve, and I doubt it will be a sort of short top, sadly, two caesareans and one enormous baby later. My daughter wasn't enormous, my son was huge, he was over 10 pounds. I no longer like to expose my midriff in the way that perhaps I did when I was 25. So, but overall, a sport weight garment is going to be less of a heavy duty item than an Aran. So I'm hoping that's what I'm going to tell myself anyway, psychologically, because it will have short sleeves, it'll obviously take a lot less time to knit. Anyway, so I'm now about two-thirds of the way through the first sleeve for Ivy. The sleeve also has the deep twisted rib cuff, which is obviously what takes the time. But the good news is, on the sleeve, once you've made a note of where your increases have to come in, at the moment I'm doing a 6-row increase, which I have to do 13 times, so I've set out for myself so that I can keep track. But because now all I'm doing is straightforward stocking stitch with an increase at each end every so many rows, it's pretty straightforward, and I can watch TV, hold a conversation, do whatever needs to be done, that I can do sitting down, whilst carrying on with it. I made great progress at the weekend. I finished the second half of the front. I cast on for the sleeve. I got a lot of the twisted rib done. Sunday had a last minute change of plan in my favour, which meant I could do more of my own thing. And that included getting on with this sleeve. But I began to notice sort of early afternoon that my left hand was becoming uncomfortable. I've never understood why this should be, but when I purl, I use a completely different hand action to when I knit. It's not, when I'm doing a complete row of purl, normally it's English knitting. I have the yarn wound round the fingers of my right hand and I bring my right hand forward and back, to bring the yarn over the needle. And if I'm doing a rib or something where there's just a bit of purl here and there, that's fine. I keep the yarn in that position. I just bring it to the front and it's no hassle. However, if I'm doing a complete row of purl, I don't know why it is, I can't start a row of purl with the yarn in my right hand. It doesn't make any sense at all. So I start with the yarn in my left hand and I just carry on like that. So when I'm doing a prolonged area of stocking stitch, just stocking stitch, I do a lot more with my left hand, and it was really beginning to ache. I was getting shooting pains down my left index finger and a very achy index finger main joint where it meets the hand. And I just knew that even though my brain wanted to carry on, I knew that it would be really, really counterproductive. So frustratingly, despite having a great opportunity, I just had to put the knitting down. So I didn't pick it up again until last night. So I had from sort of early afternoon Sunday until about 8:30 last night with no knitting, and then I knitted for probably about an hour and a half during the evening, and it was fine. A very slight achiness at one point, but really nothing that would normally have stopped me, so that was encouraging. Showed me that sort of 24 hours and a bit off had been the right thing to do. Interestingly, while I was knitting on Sunday lunchtime — we didn't have a big lunch on Sunday. We'd had a very big supper on Saturday night. We'd had a bit of a celebration meal with family on Saturday night, so we didn't need a big meal on Sunday. I was listening to the Very Pink podcast, and they've started to include more sections in the podcast now. It's not just answering questions. They're also doing features. And one of them, well, this week, the latest one, was... Oh, I say the latest one, actually. I should... I introduced caveat there. It might not be, because my podcasts piled up a little bit over Christmas, so you might have to go back one or two. But a very recent one, they Casey, who is Stacey's sort of production assistant on the podcast, she had been to talk to her chiropractor about knitting aches and strains and pains. And I thought it was ironic that there was I trying to ignore the pain in my left hand, listening to this guy talking about what happens to the joints and when you should and shouldn't stretch and posture and all this sort of thing. So if you suffer from knitting aches and pains, or if you're concerned that the way you sit or the way that you knit could contribute to problems in your hand or arm or your back or your neck, you know, it can have quite a knock on. Obviously, there's a lot of information out there, but it might be worth listening to that. You might learn something. And I can say that had I not been listening to that, I probably would have knitted on longer than I should have done. But I was literally listening to this man talking about the strain on our joints while ignoring the pain in my hand. And I thought, no, I need to stop. New projects means new yarn. I have two new projects in mind. One of them I can't talk about for the time being. That sounds terribly mysterious. It's not actually all that exciting. I just don't want to reveal what somebody's present is going to be. But I can tell you all about that later on in the spring, when I will have been through all the trials and tribulations. So you just get the edited highlights rather than all the agony in between. I went and bought two skeins of yarn yesterday. They're both Stylecraft Special Aran. I wasn't particularly looking for Stylecraft, but I was in town and I thought I would go into my local yarn shop. So I went into Stitches in Leinster. It's just down from the library, if you know this part of the world. And they had the colours that I wanted. One of them I wanted was a navy, and the other was a sort of sea colour, a darkish sea colour, because it's got to show show up in a colourwork pattern, and it has to be fairly obvious what it is. So it can't be too airy-fairy a colour. So this is a slightly darkish sea colour, but the skein is far more than I need, so I look forward to using that in something else. But the other project, which I can talk about, is something I want to make for myself. I mentioned last week that I'm going up to Six Nations match at Murrayfield. I will try not to bore on about that, but I'm more excited than you can possibly imagine. And given that it's going to be the middle of March and it's going to be in Scotland and we're outside and I think the wind will be whistling, I'm going to need mufflements. It's not going to be a beautiful balmy day, certainly not where we're sitting. So I would like to make myself a matching cowl and mittens with a thistle on it. So I've found a picture of a thistle that I like and I've put it through Stitch Fiddle, and it's come up with a pixelated image. I've talked about Stitch Fiddle before. It's really, the more I use it, the more and more I'm impressed. You can give it parameters. Obviously, you're not going to want 100 stitches in your row if you're knitting mittens. So you tell it your parameters. Now, for many projects, your pattern will be on a section of it. So for instance, you could have a jumper which is 150 stitches wide depending on what you're doing, and you could have a pattern in the middle on the front which is only 80 stitches wide. So you can set your parameters both for number of stitches and number of rows, which is great. You can also tell it how many colours you want, and when you're scanning in an image, that's really useful because the image might have more sort of shades in it than you either want or need to use in your finished item. You can scan in your own pictures, you can scan in images that are online. You also have to be a wee bit careful about what you do with those. You've got to observe copyright and so on and so forth. So I now have this thistle picture, a thistle image that I'm really happy with, and I'm probably, certainly with the cowl, I think I'm just going to wing the size because I'm not looking for anything clever in the shaping. I really am literally just looking for a tube, a completely straight-sided tube, no ribbing, nothing like that. Obviously, I'll make sure it has stretchy top and bottom. I think I'll just let the stocking stitch curl over because I quite like that as an edge. And I think I'm going to put the thistle repeating all the way around it. And then on the mittens, I have used mitten patterns before. Off the top of my head, I can't particularly remember which one. I've made myself two pairs of mittens. I've made some for my daughter, some for my son, so I'm sure I've got a tried and tested mitten framework. Much like the socks, Judy's Magic Cast On, Judy, Jenny, and then knit them two at a time, top down, and then just refer to the pattern for where I place the thumb. Although I could be persuaded to just knit the tube and then put the thumb where I want it to go. I do find sometimes with hand knitted mittens, that the thumb can be a little bit more right on the edge. If you look at your hand, your thumb doesn't actually stick right out of the edge of your hand. It's slightly in. So to be comfortable, you might want to put your thumb a couple of stitches in from where technically the edge is on your mitten, so you're not feeling any stitches pulling around your thumb, because that's the kind of thing that can be a little bit distracting sometimes, because it matters in as much as you've got your effectively the toe of your mittens, if you like, where it goes over the end of your fingers, which is the equivalent to the toe in your sock. And so that's obviously fairly fixed over where that sits comfortably over the end of your fingers. And where you put your thumb in relation to that just affects just how comfortably the mitten sits on your hand. So for those, I'm just going to put the mitten probably just on the back of the hand. And again, I'm so good at putting a set-in pattern on a fingerless mitten or a complete mitten too close to the thumb. And every time I do it, I'm just going to have to be brave and stick it further across and convince myself that it will work out okay on the finished project. On the last pair of mitts that I did, the TARDIS ones for my stepdaughter at Christmas, and a test little Houndale style mitten that I started making towards Christmas as a present for a friend and then changed my mind on both of those. The motif was too close to the thumb. So I'm looking forward to doing those. I really want to get Ivy finished. If I say a week from now, perhaps that's not unreasonable, left hand permitting. But I really want to get on with both of these other projects because they're both time sensitive. And in fact, they both need to be ready on the same day for reasons I won't bore you with. So the cardigan that I cast on when I was having my Ivy crisis, unless I make stupendous progress on everything, which I don't want to be too ambitious. I can feel I'm pressurising myself already with all of this because, you know, obviously I want to get it done. I'm very much a project knitter. I want to have them done and completed and take the pleasure in them. And I'm already pressurising myself thinking, oh, I've only got 2 months. Sounds like forever. But when you factor in everything else and I think inevitably with the cowl and mittens and the other project, there's going to be a wee bit of trial and error and you have to factor in the time for that. So I'm telling myself that the cardigan is going to have to wait until after that, even though I'd love to have it available sooner. That's life. It's going to have to wait till afterwards. And then I can enjoy doing these projects rather than just whipping myself that I'm not getting on with them in good enough time. I've got various odds and ends that I wanted to mention. Just a few things I've noticed over the last week, plus quite a good new to me, which I hope is going to be new to you as well, but I'll come to that in a wee bit. On Instagram at some point last week, I noticed a post by an account called Knot, that's K-N-O-T, dot E-N-U-F dot knitting, so Not Enough Knitting. And her post said, knitting on a long car trip helps make the miles fly by. And it was an interesting point. It's something I've wondered about before. Clearly, we'll just go over the fact now that we're talking when you're a passenger, not when you're driving. Unless you have a driverless car. Think what that could do for your knitting time, but we're not quite there yet. Do you knit in the car? If you're a passenger on a longish journey, can you knit? And if so, are you okay as long as you don't look at your pattern, or okay as long as you don't look down too much, or you're not doing something overly complex, or are you fine whatever you're doing? I can't read in the car. I'm a fine traveller normally. I don't have any issues with feeling ill usually, but if I have to do anything more than sort of glance down at Google Maps, if I'm navigating, if my husband's driving and I'm keeping an eye on where we're going, I can't look down at Google Maps too often without starting to feel funny. And this is really what puts me off about knitting in the car. I'd love to hear your experiences. I have this long journey up to Scotland in March. And I had thought, oh, what a fantastic opportunity to do a bit of knitting. I'm probably going to be sitting in the back. I'll be the only one in the back. I'll be able to spread myself out. And in a way, I just think, God, that'd be absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. I don't mind the time spent in the car, but even so, what a great way to pass the time. What a great opportunity to get a bit of knitting done, especially if I've got all these projects done in time. Well, I have to have them done in time. I can get on with the cardigan. So that's what's putting me off. And I kind of almost don't really even want to try it, because if I do start to feel funny, I'm doomed. You know, if you start to feel funny at the beginning of a 5 or 6 hour journey, you know, you've got no real opportunity to let it pass. And if you're on the motorway, you can't really open the window, because that's always the magic cure, isn't it? If you feel sick, open the window and you feel a lot better. But you can make yourself fairly unpopular on the motorway like that. Something else I wanted to mention. Have you been watching Britain's Ancient Capital, the programme on ancient man and excavations in Orkney? Oh, I say ancient man, Neolithic, that's possibly ancient's a bit strong. Have you been watching any of it? It's absolutely fascinating in its own right. If you've got any interest in the heritage of the British Isles or archaeology or anything like that, I really recommend you watch it. It's presented by Neil Oliver. It's got quite a light, quite amusing style of presenting. At one point yesterday, they had a group of people, I live in a parallel universe for when things are broadcast as opposed to when I watch them. It was probably broadcast 3 months ago. I was watching it last night and they were trying to move a sarsen. They were trying to reproduce how people would have done it. A coconut, for anyone who knows how they did it, because it's not obvious. If you've not watched it, see what you think. It will surprise you. But they had a group of people together, and the weather can be, you know, not always the best on Orkney, so there was quite a collection of headwear. And some of it was clearly a hand knit. And there was some beautiful headwear on display, including a TARDIS hat. But I got a couple of glimpses of it, but not close enough to see whether it was actually one of the hand knits. If you or a member of your family or a friend is into Doctor Who, there are plenty of items available to knit that have the TARDIS pattern on them. There are afghans and hats and jumpers, and also my personal favourite, Daleks. I have a real soft spot for a Dalek. We have a brilliant Dalek poster on the back of our kitchen door. My favourite Doctor Who episode. I'm not a Doctor Who person really, but the rest of the family is, so you can't miss it. My favourite Doctor Who episode is, I think Churchill's Ironsides. It's when the Daleks they're all tin hats and camouflage netting, and ostensibly they're there to help Churchill, but obviously, of course, they're actually evil to the roots of their beings. But there are little things like little Dalek dresses for little girls, you know, with shoulder straps and the sort of Dalek design round the skirt, and a Dalek coffee caddy cozy, which I'm just going to have to make myself one day. Where was I? Yes, so TARDIS hats. So I saw that. There was also a beautiful Fair Isle design hat. No, I didn't see any barbel hats or anything that I really recognised. Some people can spot specific designs in the wild. I would spot a barbel hat, to be fair, if I saw it in the wild. But every now and again, somebody on Instagram, they post a picture they took surreptitiously in public, and they go, "Look, it's a such and such," and I think, "Car, I'm impressed." You know, that's serious knitting know-how when you actually know the name of a pattern that you happen to spot somebody wearing in the wild. But there was some pretty good knitwear that's worth a look. New to me. I am reading at the moment the most wonderful series of books by an author called Lillian Beckwith, who had quite an interesting life, and she spent quite a few years of it on the Hebrides. She went there ostensibly to recover from an illness. Why would you go and be a crofter to recover from an illness? I can imagine lots of reasons why you might want to be a crofter, but it's hard physical work and it's short on luxury, so I don't really see how that helps you recover from an illness. But anyway, she tells wonderful stories of the people that she met, and there are quite a few references to knitting, for obvious reasons, I guess. But a superstition came up in one of her stories. Short stories is too strong. They're a collection of vignettes, really, but they're very good. And the superstition came up that if you cast on a Friday, you won't finish the project. Have you ever heard that before? I never had. I would say my own sort of approximate superstition would be no project is worth doing, that you don't have to restart at least twice, because that's normally my experience. But that was a new one. Cast on a Friday and you won't finish the project. I wonder, maybe I should cast on a Friday and test the truth of it, but then I'll be determined to finish it, won't I? So it won't be true. I wonder, have you heard of any other knitting superstitions? Curious. I think that's me for this week. I'd love to be able to say next week that Ivy is all done and dusted. I should just mention, actually, that at one point I had to do purl two together through the back loop, which I've never done before. So I just needed to check that. I thought I could kind of know what it might be, but when I saw the video, no, I would never have come up with that by myself. So I'll post a link to that because I found a very useful video online. Well, I hope you've had a good knitting week. I hope you have a good week, whatever it includes. My Knit and Natter knitting group starts up again tomorrow, which is lovely. I've missed that over the break. Because I've got that this week, I won't go back to my charity knitting group this week. I have to do that alternate weeks. So I've got that to look forward to next week. And honestly, I'd thought, oh, great. Once all the Christmas knitting is over, I'll get back to putting in some time on my charity knitting. But I can see that all the other things I want to do are just going to fill the time, really. So once again, I think this is just a year where I'm always mentally going to be two or three projects ahead of myself. I don't know if you listen to the Curious Handmade podcast with Helen Stewart. She picks a word for her year which informs how she goes about all sorts of things, not just knitting. And I'm not going to copy her, but if I have a knitting resolution for this year, it's going to be to pressurize myself less. I knit because I enjoy it. I love the finished articles most of the time. And there are things that I want to do. I have a knitting list as long as your arm, really. But I'm going to ensure that I don't give myself a hard time about getting things done. And I think the best way to achieve that is not to be unrealistic with the targets that I set myself. So that's the theory. Watch it crash and burn. But I think this year is going to be about realistic knitting goals. Yes, knitting goals. Yes, knitting targets. But ensuring that it's not a panicky race against time. It's enjoyably completing projects. So I hope to have enjoyably completed Ivy by the next time we speak. Have a good week. Bye.